tonight. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Help us to grab hold of the truth of your word, your provision for us, that we may walk it out, and that you may be glorified in and through our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to look at some faith principles from Goliath's defeat. All right? So let's go to 1 Samuel and chapter 17. And we're just going to start in verse 1. We're going to jump to a couple different places tonight, and hopefully we'll get through it. If not, we'll finish up next week. 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 1. So now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, and which belongs to Judah. So this place that they were belongs to Judah. It was a place of God. Amen? It was a place that belonged to God. And they encamped between, I'm not going to read all those names, but that's where they encamped. And verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. So, you know, the enemy, he gathered their armies together to do battle at a place that belonged to Judah. And the enemy will gather apart his forces to do battle against you. Is that true or false? Okay, so, you know, if you're aware of something, you're in a much better place. You're not caught off guard. You're aware of what's going on. The enemy's a thief and he's a liar. He's already been declared that in the Word of God, right? He's a thief and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. We've mentioned that many, many times. But this premise right here in the very first verse, it belonged to Judah. It wasn't the enemy's. It was Judah's. We belong to the Lord. We're not the enemy's. We're the Lord's. Amen? So that's the very first place that we're going to start and understand that we have victory. He cannot take what is God's. We are God's. We're not his possessions, right? He can't rightfully take it. Anything that God has given us. And now in the New Testament, we have everything, absolutely everything pertaining to life and everything pertaining to godliness has been given unto us. It belongs to us, right? If something belongs to you and somebody takes it, it's a theft. Is that right? Well, we know who the thief is, and once the thief has been found out, the Word of God declares he needs to return sevenfold. Amen. So we need to kind of stand our ground on some of this stuff and just put our foot down, kind of get nose to nose with the enemy and just say, enough. I know who you are. I know you're trying to steal from me, and I don't belong to you. I belong to the Lord. You're stealing from the Lord. You can't have what's his. You can't have what's mine. Amen? We just need to get downright nasty with him and just be determined. I'm not having another thing taken from me. Nothing. Amen? If somebody comes and I decide, you know what? I really like this pen. This pen is nice. And I really think I ought to have it, right? Where is it? Where's it going? You know, I can be persistent and go after it and try to grab it and take it, but it's not mine. What did she do? Did she willfully give it to me? No, she fought to keep it, to hide it, to get it away from me so I couldn't take it. Well, that's what we need to do when the enemy is heading our direction. When you see and you know he's trying to take from you what's rightfully yours, what belongs to you. You just know, nope, not going to have it. Amen? We need to just stand our ground on some of these things. Too many times we're just giving up ground, giving up what's rightfully ours, giving up what we should be possessing. And it's time to stop. It's time that we build up some muscle and fight against the enemy and just say, enough. This isn't yours, it's mine. Right? We just got to get some tenacity about ourselves and just getting nasty. And not with each other, but with the enemy. Amen? So that's the very first thing that it belonged to Judah. In verse 2 it says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of El and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. Well, we have some battle array. Amen? Let's look at Ephesians 6. And starting in verse 10. It says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord. Be strengthened by who? Be strengthened by your abilities. Be strengthened by how spiritual you are. Be strengthened by your good looks. Be strengthened because you're so dashing. Be strengthened by what? There's only one thing there that we can be strengthened by, right? Lord. And we're told in scriptures that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to encompass ourselves in the Lord, completely surround ourselves in his presence. All these things, we can be strong. And if you're not strong spiritually, you're not going to be strong in other areas as well. You're not going to be strong emotionally. You're not going to be strong physically. You're not going to be strong mentally. We need to be strong first in the Lord. And we need to be determining in our own self that we recognize our strength comes from him, not from us. Now, you do the best you can with who you are and what he's given you, but the strength that we are counting on to overcome and to be triumphant in this life isn't our strength, it's his. And it comes from being in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're in him. How strong is he? How powerful is our God? Amen. We live and dwell in him. We have our being in him. If it's totally in us, we're going to fall short. But if we recognize we're in him, then we're strong right from the start. We know that's where everything comes from. That's where victory comes from. That's where peace comes from. Your strength, your joy, everything that has you and me overcoming in this life is a benefit from being in him. We don't have to succumb to depression. We don't have to succumb to disappointment, disillusionment. Yeah, some things may disappoint you greatly, dishearten you. You might look at it and it might just kind of, you ever get just slapped upside the... That's what it feels like sometimes. When something hits you that you're not expecting, it just, you kind of reel for a minute. But then you grab hold of who you are. No, we're not going that way. God's got different for me. God's made a way for me. He's given me his promises. I can trust in him. He's my victory. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's my promise. He's my all in all. He's already paid it. He's delivered it unto us. So we just have to grab hold of it and be determined not to let the thief steal it. It's not his to take. That's when you just get that bulldog tenacity, dig your feet in and just say, not here, not this way. Well, we're going to be strong in the Lord, and I like how this version is. It says, and his vast strength. How strong is God? That's something to meditate on a minute or two, huh? His vast strength. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we just let those words roll off like, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're not taking it to heart. But this is saying, be strong in the Lord and his vast strength. And that's something you need to meditate on. How vast is his strength? How strong is our God? How much can we put our dependence on him? Is there anyone stronger than God? Is there anyone stronger than the Lord? Hallelujah. I mean, that ought to encourage us a little bit. Amen. So then it says, put on the full armor of God so that, here's a reason, you can stand against the tactics of the devil. So we know there's tactics. We know they are of the devil. We know we have to stand against them. There's a deception that a lot of Christians come into, and that's they think once they're saved, they're never, ever going to have an issue in their life again. No, you weren't ever told that, but for some reason, we think that. The promise is that we have victory in every situation. The promise is that we're overcomers. Well, you're an overcomer because there's something to overcome, right? That means there might be a battle. There might be a something that you're bumping up against, and it's not good. It's not right. It shouldn't be this way. You don't like it, but you've been promised victory because he paid the price. He was beaten, he was ripped, he was bruised, he was torn in his body so you could be whole in yours. That pressure, that crown of thorns that was jammed into his head, that he bore, the chastisement of his of our peace was upon him that we might have peace. That we're not tormented in our mind, in our emotions, our thoughts. That we're living in a place of peace. Amen? God has given unto us everything. For our battle is not against flesh and blood. When we look at people, we are in trouble. A lot of husbands and wives look at their spouse as the enemy. If I wasn't dealing with you, I wouldn't have to do this or that or the other. If I wasn't dealing with you, we wouldn't have the debt that we have. If I wasn't dealing with you, and whatever is going on, they're pinning the blame on their spouse. They might not be saying it, but sometimes people in their heart, they're pinning the blame on their spouse. They pin the blame on their children. They pin the blame on their parents. It goes every which way. And we can't do that. We can't live like that. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. If there are things that are inherent in someone's life, then we need to take authority over the enemy and his tactics. We need to bind the hand of the enemy, not fight with those we love. I don't know why it's so easy to fight with somebody you love, somebody that's closest. Maybe you think they'll be there for you always. They'll never give up. Well, that's what true love never does give up. True love is always there. Amen? But you can't get so comfortable that you just treat them poorly. We're to honor one another. We're to respect our elders. We're to love our children. Amen? We're to be examples, and God's love is supposed to flow through us, all around us. It's supposed to be seen. It's supposed to be evident. We're supposed to shine. Amen? So, but we got to remind ourselves, somebody's constantly dealing with some stuff, we're going to have to ask God, God, give me your love for them. Help me to be patient with them. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. You're in me, so it's in me, so help me. Hallelujah. Amen. You might have to sing that 100 times a day, but you know, 70 times 7 in a day is how much Jesus said to forgive. That's a lot for the same offense. 70 times 7 in one day. Has anybody had to deal with that yet? I don't think so.
close. It's got to be close.
But God's given us the ability. We just got to look on the inside. God, your love for them. You might have to go in the bathroom, shut the door. Say, Jesus, help. Cry out. Amen. Fill me right now with your love. Help me to see them with your eyes. Amen. Because he will do it. So we don't fight against flesh and blood, but what are we fighting against? The rulers, against authorities, against world powers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. There are forces in this world that are coming against us. Do we have to get freaked out and get, some people get so, they gravitate, oh God, we got to deal with all these devils, we got to deal with all these demons. Well, we've been given the name of Jesus. If you sense there's any demonic thing going on in your life or in your family or around you or your workplace or anything, you have the name of Jesus. So you take that name, you have the authority given you to use that name. In Mark 16:18, it says, in my name, the believers will. One of the things is cast out demons. Oh, that's just for the church. That's just for the pastor. It's just for the evangelist. No, it says the brand day, ordinary, everyday believer. It didn't say fivefold ministry. It said believers. How many of you qualify as a believer? Well, you got to believe that part too. Amen. You're not going to qualify to do it if you don't believe it. Right? So you got to believe I have that name that's above every name. I have the name that everything has to submit to. I've been given that name, and I've been authorized to use it. I've been told to use it. You've been told to use it. Amen. So if there's any demonic influence or force or anything going along, strife, envy, all those things, you take authority and say, nope. In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit from operating in my home. Amen? You take authority. You take your place. You take your position. And just remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. A lot of strife will get taken care of in the home once you recognize it's not them. Otherwise, you're always looking at them as the enemy. And they're not your enemy. They're the people that love you the most. Amen? Verse 13. This is why you must take up the full, you must, this isn't an option. It says you must take up the full armor of God, not just pick your favorite pieces. Amen? You want to be fully clothed in the armor of God. So that, the reason why you want to is, you may be able to resist in the evil day. What evil day? The day when something comes to attack you, to come against you. When sickness or weakness or infirmities or accidents, things come against you. To steal back your health, to steal your finances, what's the whole purpose? What would the enemy like you to be poor and sick for? So you can't. He would like you to be to the place where you're incapacitated. If you're laying down in your bed because you're sick and weak and infirm, how much can you be out in the world helping other people? Tell them about Jesus. It's going to hinder you, right? It's going to hurt you. It's going to immobilize you. It's going to keep you from stepping into the fullness of what God has for you. Now, each and every one of us, there's a plan and a purpose to our life. There's things that God has deposited in your heart. There's things that have been stirring in some of you since you were children, and you've not given place to it. Or you'll think about that, and then you run from it out of fear or whatever else. You don't look at it as though this could really be real. No, God's had, he said to the one prophet, he said, before I formed you, there were plans, there were purposes. In your mother's womb, I knew you. He knows all of us. He intends to, he would love to see us walk out and fulfill everything he's ever intended for us to fulfill in our life. He would love it. It would please him. Can you imagine if the entire body of Christ came to a place where we were pursuing him? Ooh. Because every joint fits together perfectly. It's like cogs in a wheel. Just when everything's in place, everything meshes, everything works. And then it makes place for the next thing to come in. If the whole body of Christ saw their purposes, did what they were supposed to, and we all meshed together, boy, what a wonder that would be. Well, that's his desire. And he has things on the inside of you. He has things that he's put in there. He has dreams and desires and purposes that are in there. And we need to start believing them and stepping out in them. There's reasons that you're here on this earth. There's purposes to your life. Amen? Let's see. I'm going to reread 13 because we didn't get through the whole thing. This is why you must take up your full array, your full armor. The full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, the day things are attacking you. And having prepared everything, take your stand. It doesn't say God's going to take the stand for you. It says you put on your armor. You put on what he's given you to put on. We'll look at that in a second. You prepare yourself, you do what you know, and then take your stand. Then the very next word is stand. Some versions say stand therefore. You've gotten everything so you can stand, now stand. Right in the midst of the storm, right when all hell appears to be breaking loose all around you, you take your stand. What stand? A stand of faith. What God has said, what he's declared, what he has promised you. Those things that have been given unto you, take your stand. Do not be denied. Those things belong to you. So verse 14 says, stand therefore with what? This is your armor. With truth, like a belt around your waist, holding everything together. Amen? Truth will do that, will hold you. The word is truth. Amen? This is what we've got to live by. This is what we have to choose. No matter what you think or feel or see round about you, if it's contrary to what this has promised, you choose to believe the truth of the word of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. We choose to believe him. We choose to believe his word. If you believe other than that, it's a lower level, a lower standard, and you'll have that rather than the higher, which is his word and his truth and his way. We have to make that choice. We're going to have it his way. Amen? Okay, so we're going to have truth like a belt, righteousness like armor on your chest. Well, armor is not easily penetrated, is it? It encloses you, right? It keeps you safe. It protects you. What is that? Righteousness. that you have a right standing before God, that he sees you as holy and pure and right, that you have a way to access into the throne room, that you can come before God at any point in time. You can. Amen. You don't have to, like we've seen Queen Esther, where that scepter, she goes in, and if that scepter wasn't held out to her, it could cost her life. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need, in your time of trouble. You come. So many of us are waiting, oh God, show up, do something for me. He says, you come. You have a need, you have a trouble, come to me. The door's open, I've made the way. That's what this is all about, is that we fellowship with him, we talk with him, we share our heart, we get the relationship built that he's desiring for us. But that righteousness is our armor. The enemy can't penetrate your armor. He can't penetrate that. You have right standing with God. God sees you as pure and holy. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. Yeah, but I messed up today. Okay, did you repent? Did you ask God, forgive me, Lord, I messed up. I don't want to do that, but I did it again. Did you repent? Did you make a conscious decision to turn and go the other way? And just say, okay, Lord, I blew it here, but my desire is to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it your way. That's what repentance is. Yeah, but I did that yesterday. I was sure I wasn't going to mess up again, and I did that yesterday. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And where it says that, the translation, it's a little weak. It really means to run from, as in holy terror. There's a picture. Not you running from the devil, but the devil running from you. Him being in holy terror. Hallelujah. Why? Because we have the greater one residing on the inside of us. And we fail to remember that sometimes. And that's why we give in to our flesh. And we give in to temptations. Because we forget. So what helps you remember? Meditate. Think on these things. Meditate. We talked about that so many times. It's like chewing, like old cow chewing on his cud. Just chewing it, chewing it, chewing it, chewing it, chewing it. You're taking that word and you're thinking about it. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. I can. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do all things. There's nothing. There's no limitations. I can do all things through Christ. I know it's through him. It's not my own strength. It's through Christ because he strengthens me. I can do it because he strengthens me. It's thinking on every word. It's chewing on every word. It's that cow chewing on its cud, going over it and over and over. It's not just reading it one time and, oh, there, I'm done. It's getting it from here to here. This is life. It comes from this word. It brings life. It brings light. It's what we need. But if we just gloss over it, it's not going to get in here. We need to think on these things. If we're not getting it, then we need to go back. If we're stumbling over the same thing over and over, then we just need some time with him. Lord, what's the issue here? Why am I stumbling over this thing? 99% of all things that we struggle with is because we have no idea who we are in Christ. We don't value ourselves. We don't see ourselves like God sees us. We don't see the potential that he has. We don't see the greater one inside of us. We're struggling and striving, trying to prove, taking all the pressure on the world has to offer to try to be something, try to prove we're wonderful, prove we're good enough. You are good enough. You've been washed in the blood. You've been set apart. You've been sanctified. You're holy. There's purposes for your life because of the blood, because of what he's done. He's redeemed us. He gave us value back. All of mankind was in the cesspool of life. We were headed to hell. But God, he had a different plan. But God reached out in love. But God extended his mercy. But God reached into us and said, come on up here. I've got more for you. I want you. And he values each and every one of us. He's an amazing God. Perfect in every way. Aren't you glad? But that's where we get in trouble, is when I'm, you know, trying to prove that I'm good enough. Why are there 72,000 kinds of makeup? Who needs 40 pairs of shoes? Okay, beside Caitlin. But I mean, some people get so, their whole worth is in their wardrobe. Their whole worth is in their hair and their makeup. Their whole worth is in the degree on the wall, or the car that they drive, or the house that they own. Or if they don't do that, then they transfer to their children. And their children, what their accomplishments are. So you got some moms going to every club and they're just driving themselves absolutely crazy, trying to get them in everything. They're living their lives through their kids. Well, it's good to have your children grow and develop. But there's a line there. There's a line there. Be led. Amen? That's the bottom line to it all. How much do I do for my kids? How much do I do for my spouse? How much do I do for my neighbor? How much do I do for my parents? How much do I do for God? Sometimes you have to draw the line and just say, okay, God, it's our time. There might be kids and mom and dad and everybody else pulling on you in every different direction, but it's my time with you. And we got to take that or we're going to lose out. This world is going to try to stress you, to compel you to where you're going in 100 different directions. You don't have time to breathe. You don't have time to think. Your energy's gone. Your money's gone. Your time is gone. And you just flop into bed at the end of the night and wonder, what did I do? What just happened today? Well, we got to be led. Amen? And we got to know, just if you do not believe in yourself, you do not believe that you're precious in the eyes of God, and that you're a valuable creation that he has made specifically and purposed, then you need to meditate on that over and over and over till it drops into your heart and you really truly believe it. It's good to do good things. I'm not saying any of these things are bad. I'm just saying, what's the motivation? Right? Sometimes our motivation is off. And we just want people to recognize us and see our worth and see our value. And we need to esteem one another. Right? Amen. How'd we get off on that? I think it was righteousness somewhere along the line. So our righteousness, wear armor on your chest and your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. So we're ready to go, right? There's a readiness in us to share the gospel. The gospel of what? Peace. Amen. The gospel of truth and righteousness. Gospel should bring peace. If it's bringing strife into someone's life, if it's bringing condemnation, you know, hanging up the signs, that going out in front of a bar and holding that sign, repent, you sinner, is not the gospel. Right? And there's been a lot of people that hate Christianity because they've seen judgment with it. The gospel is a gospel of peace. You are loved of God. Amen. And he wants to be in relationship with you. As part of our clothing, our feet are shod. And in every situation, take the shield of faith. And with it, you'll be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. In a couple of situations, what did I just say? How many situations? In every situation, in each and every situation, you'll be able to extinguish the firing darts of the enemy. He's throwing them at you, but you're going to be able to quench them. You'll be able to stop them. They might be coming at you, but you can stop them. You put your shield up there. Amen? Shield of faith. Not a shield of doubt. I wonder if this is going to happen. Is that a shield? Gee, I hope this works. Is that your shield? It's going to go flying right through that, baby. Amen? But what's a shield of faith? No. I'm healed and whole by those stripes. Amen? So we got to take that, and that's part of our armor. I'm going to just finish reading this quick because I want to get on to something else. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's our offensive tool. Defensive? We're not offending with it, are we? We're defending. Offensing? Well, it's a sword anyways. You're fighting with it. That's what you're doing the fighting with. And it's the Word of God. That's what we fight with. That is what we win with. Amen? With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert. Don't get lazy. Don't get slothful. Don't slough off. With all perseverance and intercession for all saints. And that's where we need to pray for one another. You see somebody going through some struggles, lift them up in prayer. Surround them in faith. Surround them with love. Amen. They may never know it's you praying for them. But you got somebody on your heart, they parade through your mind, you're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, so-and-so is on your mind. Yeah, I wonder what they're up to. Don't just wonder. It's a reason why they're dancing around in your mind. So you can lift them in prayer. Amen? Prayer does a lot. Amen. Well, I thought we were talking about Goliath. We're talking about the battle, Ray, weren't we? Verse 2 said, he drew up the battle ray against the Philistines. And we need to do the same thing. We need to keep our armor on. Amen? The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. You're going to have to make a decision where you're going to take your stand. You can't stand in the valley in the middle. You need to stand against the enemy. You need to look at the Word of God and take your position on the other mountain. God's Word. What's it declaring about you? Amen? You're not going to have it. You're not going to keep going downhill. You're going to gain that ground back. Climb back up that mountain. Amen? We're going to have it. We're going to have it God's way. God's way is victory. Verse 4, and the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. From Gath, whose height was 6 foot and a span, which was almost 10 foot tall. So, here's one thing there. The enemy likes to array himself. He likes to show off. He likes to say, hey, you're not going to make it. Look at this over here. It's getting worse. Look at this. This is cancer. This is poverty. This is failure. This is defeat. He likes to paint all these pictures and get your mind thinking, well, I don't want to be defeated. But get you in fear. I'm not making progress. I'm going backwards. Get you in fear. Get his big picture painted. He's big. He's mean. What was the picture of Goliath? He's almost 10 foot tall. He's their champion. It talks about all these things about him. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail that weighed the coat 5,000 shekels of bronze, which is about 125 pounds. He's wearing a coat of mail that's 125 pounds. Right? I mean, we're looking at a giant. And sometimes when the enemy puts something before your face, it looks like a giant. And you think, oh my God, how can I conquer this thing? This is bigger than I am. I don't see any victory in this. How is this even possible? And this big giant, the more you think about it, the bigger it gets. Doesn't matter what area it is. Gets bigger and uglier if we meditate on that. He had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. The spearhead, which was it would be about 15 pounds. Just the head of the spear. I don't know about you guys. I've thrown a few. Carp spearing. There's no way there would be 15 pounds on the end of that thing. I can't even imagine. What would the pole be if the head's 15 pounds? But he's taunting all these weapons. He's showing off his armor, showing off his mail, showing off his helmet. He's already, and then he's got verse 8. Then he stood and he cried out in the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out in the line of battle? He starts putting them down. You're going to serve us. You're going to be defeated. Anybody ever hear from the enemy? You're going to lose this battle. You're not going to make it. You're going to fail. Those are the things the enemy wants you to meditate on. Those are the lies that he tells. But what does Jesus say? I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That you have victory in Christ Jesus. These are promises from God. But the enemy is singing his own little tune. And you got to choose which mountain you're going to stand on. Which side are you going to choose? What are you going to do? Are you going to look and succumb to the enemy and how big he is and how ugly he is and how mean he is and how big his weapons are? We've been told in 2 Corinthians that his weapons have been, they're disarmed, but the word actually is denuded. What does that mean? Stripped. Hallelujah. The enemy's weapons have been stripped from him. He has nothing. We look at this guy as though he's boasting and all of his mail and his bronze and all this kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus, since Jesus came, went to the cross, he's been stripped naked. Goliath is a type of the enemy who's been stripped naked. He's got nothing to work with but lies. The lies he was saying was, I'm impenetrable. You're not going to get through this armor. You're not going to get through this mail. You're not going to get through this helmet. I am nearly 10 foot tall. I'm going to defeat you. Right? I mean, that's just what he's flaunting there. So what happens here then? Let's jump down just a little bit here. Well, verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is right where the enemy wants you. Dismayed. What happened to Joshua? What was he told? Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Right? Fear comes, discouragement comes. Be of good courage. And that's what God is always saying. Do not be afraid. Be of good courage. We're to take what God says as truth and to hold it up. Amen? Let's jump on down to... He presented himself 40 days before them. I guess it's in verse 26 when David comes along. He's heard about this now for 40 days. Goliath's been coming out. He's been taunting the Israelites. He's been telling them they're going to be their servants and all this kind of nonsense. And then David comes along, little David, who's been tending the sheep. He's the youngest of all the brothers. He's been out tending the sheep. And he says, what's going to happen to the guy who conquers here, who wins? In verse 25, he says, the man who kills, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David considered Goliath defeated before he ever saw him, because he was defying the living God. He was coming against God. He was challenging God. When the enemy comes against you, comes against the promises of God, we ought to gird ourselves up in the same weight and say, who are you? Who are you to come against God's word, to come against God's elect? Amen? And he said this before he even saw him. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Has anybody ever challenged you in your faith? What makes you think you can get something from God? What makes you think you're so good? What do you think? Why are you saying that? I've never seen blah, 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 blah. Anybody ever heard that other than, yeah. There's always going to be somebody to come against and to challenge. And this was the king. Should have been anointed of God. Put in his position. And yet, he's looking at the natural. If you just look at the natural and not what God is in you, I can go to the mirror and I can look and I can see myself and there's a natural person there. And I know my flaws and my inabilities in the natural, but God. And that's what puts us over. Those two words, but God. God is in me. greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But God has made a way when there is no way. Amen. He is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. Amen. He is a good God, and we can trust him. So let's go on down. Verse 36, your servant, he talks about killing the lamb. He talks about killing the bear. And then verse 36, he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. What did David do before he went to battle? He magnified God. He exalted what God had already done in his life. If you don't have a journal, get one. Get a notebook. Start writing down when God came through for you, when he made a way, when he provided for you, when he healed you, when he spoke to your heart, when he turned situations around, when he got you a job when you didn't have a job, when he made a way when there was just nothing but strife and fighting. Well, all those things that you see the hand of God going on your behalf, write them down, because there's a tendency in life to forget. You get busy, you just keep going on another day, another day, another day, and you have a tendency to forget. David didn't forget. He reminded himself. If you want to be strong in faith, then remind yourself, God's been here before. He helped me with that lion. He helped me with that beard. I grabbed that lion by the beard. Can you imagine? Just a kid. Amen. And that bear, he had victory in those things. God helped him. He exalted God. He reminded himself of what God did when he was in bad situations, and God came through every time. Amen. And that's a way of victory, to do those things. Help yourself in those things. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. See, he's declaring it. He's confessing it. He's telling Saul, God is going to help me. And Saul says, okay, the Lord be with you. Go ahead. He had to convince the king. Amen. He had to convince everybody. Nobody was thinking he was going to be able to do this thing. But you know, the truth of the matter is, he knew he wasn't able to do this thing. But with God, he could. And then he gets rid of the bronze helmet and all the mail and all the stuff that the king tried to put on him, and the sword and all that armor that the king wanted. He says, I can't walk with all this stuff. I haven't tested it. I don't even know how to work with this stuff. And verse 40, he took his staff in his own hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch that he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. So the Philistines came, and he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. So this, I mean, here he is, and as big as he is, and with that coat of mail, and the helmet, and the spear, and all this stuff that he's wearing, and now he's even got an armor bearer with a shield going before him. Now, how is David supposed to get through all that stuff to get to this giant, to knock him down, to kill him? He's got one little spot in the middle of his forehead. The helmet is on, the mail is on, his legs are covered, the armor bearer is there. He's got one target. Hallelujah. And he hit it well. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he was disdained. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you've come at me with sticks? Are you playing a game? This kid? I've been out here chanting for 40 days and none of your warriors are going to challenge me, but this little kid is coming out? Do you ever feel like, boy, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have enough experience. Who am I? You're a kid of God's. You're God's kid. You're God's favorite kid. Amen. Equipped and well able to do what's set before you. Don't let age, young or old. You got old people saying just as much as the young people. I'm too young. I can't do this. I'm too old. I can't do this. Don't listen. Amen. You're a child of God. You can do all things through Christ. Amen. I've had young people bless my socks off. Little kids. Pray. One time, one Christmas, my kids were little. It was before we went to Rhema. So they were probably, Emily was still, she's probably a year and a half or two. So Levi would be 3 and a half. Carrie'd be about 8. And Pastor Gary woke up feeling horrible. We went and quick opened up presents, and he jetted back to the bed. And Emily laid down because she was tired. She had gotten up way early. She was still little. And we decided, we're not going to have this on Christmas. Have to stay home because somebody's sick. That's just nonsense. So all these kids laid hands on Daddy. Little tiny hands. 2-year-old hand. 4-year-old hand, 8-year-old hand, and Mama's hand. And prayed for him. And then he laid down with Emily. We left the room. And he kind of got upset. Because he thought I walked in the room and Emily was a light sleeper. And he had just gotten her to sleep. So it's like, you're doing in here. Because he heard the door open. And he heard something. And he felt this tap. And he got kind of irritated because he thought I was waking him up. Disturbing. Going to wake Emmy up. And he turned and no one was there. And then he checked. All the symptoms were completely gone. Hallelujah. And we had a great Christmas, went everywhere and did everything. It was wonderful. But little kids like you, laying hands on their daddy. And he got well. Amen. God is good. But he's disdaining him because he's a kid. I'm telling you, there's something come against him at every level. Right? Something constantly trying to put him down and say, you can't do this. There's constantly going to be something challenging you at every level. Emotional, people around you, people that you respect, maybe not thinking you can do anything. You just got to gird yourself up from the inside and just say, okay, it's me and God. And sometimes that might be all it is, you and God. But with you and God, it's a majority. You win. Amen? You win. He's on your side. Nobody's going to defeat God. So you just cozy right up next to him. Okay, we got this. Doesn't care who is disdaining you. Who is belittling you, looking at you as though you can't do it. You can do all things through Christ. So, David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." And this day, he was declaring a few things here, right? You can have what you say, right? "I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass to the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, or for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And so it was. So it was. He looked the enemy right in the face, and he said, "I'm not going to put up with this nonsense. It's going to be God's way. We're not going to give in to this junk. You're coming against God. You're coming against God's elect. And we got to do the same thing. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror. And you and I are going to win." Well, what happened? So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on it, on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. He struck the Philistine, and it killed him. And there was no sword in his hand of David. And therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that there was a champion was dead, they fled. Hallelujah. We don't need to beg for victory. We've got it. It's been promised to us. We're victorious in Christ Jesus. He's paid the price. Your healing is in Christ Jesus. And actually, it's in you. The greater one is in you. The healing power of God resides in you. The Word of God declares that the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you to quicken your mortal body, to make alive, to bring life to your mortal body, to restore you completely. Amen. So I know Caitlin wanted me to pray for her at the end of the service. I don't know if there's anybody else that wants prayer in here. If you do, we'll agree together and pray. But the Word of God says, believers lay hands on the sick, the promise is they shall recover. And that's what we believe. He paid the price. He took stripes on his back. He didn't have to do that. To die for our sins, he went to the cross. But before he went to the cross, he was beaten and ripped and torn and stabbed and that crown of thorns. He paid for every part of our body, spirit, soul, and body, so that we could be whole. So those stripes, by his stripes, you were healed. So we agree with his word. And his word says, believers, lay hands on the sick, and the promise is they, maybe they'll recover. It's a good chance. What do you think? Maybe 50-50? What's it say? They shall. They shall recover. It's not a shot in the dark. Let's hope. But where's the fight come in? It's a good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because we know the outcome. We win. You might have to fight, but you win. You fight. You stand your ground. When you've done all to stand, you stand. No way. I'm not losing an inch of ground here. I'm moving up in the things of God. I'm stronger. Amen. Whole. Say what God says you have. Declare some things like David did. No way. I'm not going to have this any longer. Strength for my body, strength for my emotions, strength for my spirit. Amen. Declare some things about yourself. So we're going to pray for Caitlin, if you want to join us in prayer here.